What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our buddy Max Goodman from NJ.com will be covering the team soup to nuts as he always does. But Max, welcome aboard on this Saturday night. You had a conversation with Aaron Boone. Now, let me just be clear. Aaron Boone, I've got a pact with Booney. I see him a lot in the offseason at football games, okay? Because it's no secret Aaron Boone's an Eagles fan, and I'm an Eagles broadcaster, so he goes to a lot of the games. But I purposely don't use that leverage, if you want to look at it that way, to ask him about anything baseball. I will not ask Booney a baseball question until we get to spring training and I have the baseball credential around my neck. It's just, that's just me. All right. I respect the fact that it's the off season. We'll talk plenty of football, but I won't even get into any baseball with him until we get to Tampa. At George M. Steinbrenner Field. Now, you, on the other hand, Max, it's your job year-round to talk baseball with people like Aaron Boone. Number one, when you spoke to him here recently, did you get a good vibe for him going into the season? And let's start with third base. Who could be playing, as of right now, unless they make a major move, Max, who could be the Yankee third baseman going into the 25 season?
Sure. Ricky, first off, thanks for having me. Great to catch up with you. Hope all is well. I spoke to Boone at the New Jersey Vietnam Veterans Memorial and Museum last night, and he had a Q&A. There were a bunch of veterans there and some fans paid for tickets that would benefit the Memorial Museum. And right as that Q&A started, he was immediately asked about third base. And, you know, the vibe throughout that, to answer that question from you, seems like he's in good spirits. Obviously, it was a blow to lose Juan Soto this offseason, but he's pretty happy with how the front office was able to pivot and spread around some of their offseason budget. But the plan as of now is to move Jazz Chisholm Jr. over to second and have some sort of competition going on at third this spring with Oswaldo Cabrera, maybe going to earn some more of an opportunity here. He's been a utility guy in recent years. Maybe he can start or play there more consistently. Oswald Peraza is an option. And then there's DJ LeMahieu, who's going to turn 37 this summer, coming off a couple years in a row where he's been, you know, injury-riddled campaigns, not looking like the two-time batting title winner that the Yankees gave a huge contract to. And that's the plan as of now. You know, there's still an opportunity for them to bring somebody else in before camp, maybe before opening day. But that's where the Yankees are at.
Outfield right now, are they good? Do they look at Cabrera as almost a fifth outfielder? Or could they be in the market? Maybe Everson Pereira, who's coming off of an injury and should be fully healed, is he in that mix?
Sure. Well, they got Aaron Judge going back to right. Now that Soto's out of the picture, you can move Judge back to his best position. Sounds like Bellinger's going to play center, and that's an upgrade defensively. He's been great there in recent years, which allows you to move Dominguez over to left field. And as much as center is the position that Dominguez has played throughout his minor league career, the explanation that Boone gave earlier this past week when he was on The Fan with BC and Sal, he said that they didn't want to move Dominguez around. So by putting him in left, they can have Bellinger in center. When Bellinger transitions over to right on a day where Judge is DHing, or if he's backing up over at first for Goldschmidt, then they can put Trent Grisham in center, and Grisham is strictly a center fielder. So Pereira could factor in. Yeah, he's healthy now, coming back from elbow surgery, and Boone said that he's excited about him too, but I don't know how he would necessarily get playing time if everybody's healthy and producing.
Mark Leiter Jr. lost, or whichever way you want to look at it, the organization won the arbitration case. So Mark Leiter Jr. is in the fold, although at the number that the Yankees wanted, they got that. How does that affect the going forward here? It's a very thin line, Max, with the payroll where it's at, where they would like to have it as far as the luxury tax is concerned. The elephant in the room is obviously the $18 million for Marcus Stroman. But as of right now, how close are they to that thin line of comfort and discomfort as far as the payroll is concerned, with maneuverability in mind?
Right. I think it is pretty close. Yeah. And like I said earlier, they have been spreading around a lot of their budget this offseason. Clearly, they were ready to spend an exorbitant amount on Soto. But if you can get under that top luxury tax threshold, then you know they're certainly going to try to do that. And like you said, Stroman is an important piece of that puzzle. That's one of the bigger question marks, I'd say, leading up to spring training and potentially all the way up to opening day, too. I mean, other teams may need starting depth. Maybe somebody gets hurt on another team and they'd be more willing to take a Stroman if the Yankees can eat some of that money. But for $18 million and a vesting option that would kick in for another $18 for next year if he pitches 140 innings this year, what team would necessarily want that, right? I mean, Stroman has been very consistent, and throughout the first half last year, he was pretty effective for the Yankees, all things considered, but obviously was out of that playing time picture by the end of the year and didn't pitch at all in the postseason. So I'm curious how that's going to play out, if the Yankees can find a trade partner there. Otherwise, you keep around this spring, and maybe someone gets hurt like what happened last year, right? Nobody expected that Gerrit Cole would miss the first half of the season, and it turned out to be important to have Stroman, and then Luis Gil stepped up, and then the rest is history there. So it's good to have depth. You can never have enough pitching, but if you're able to shed that salary, or at least some of it, the Yankees would be able to use that extra cash to maybe bring in a Tim Hill or a lefty reliever, address that third base situation, so you don't have to go in with a LeMahieu or a platoon between LeMahieu and Cabrera or whatever it may be.
Do you think the team is, quote-unquote, actively, and there's a big difference between actively and if something falls in their lap, do you think the team is actively trying to move Stroman?
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, it would be beneficial for them to do so with what we've been talking about financially. Mm-hmm. But I do also think that they like to keep him too, right? I mean, like I said, it's good to have that depth. And, you know, when I spoke to Boone yesterday, I asked him about Stroman, and he spoke very highly of Stroman. And I even asked, I don't know if you saw, but Stroman scrubbed his Instagram and some of his social media from all things Yankees. And I said, does that have anything to do with the rumors recently? And he said, no, that's something that Stroman will do before a season. It's a routine thing, has much ado about nothing, was how Boone put it. And that everyone's going to be professionals, right? He's been texting with Stroman recently, doesn't expect this to have any sort of impact on how he acts in the clubhouse heading into camp this spring. And Boone said the reality was that Stroman was an effective pitcher for them last year. You know, how he fits into the picture right now, he's their sixth starter. So if everyone stays healthy, there's really no spot for him. So maybe Yankees try to wait this out as long as they can and see if another team wants to grab him, or they can be opportunistic with a trade. Maybe take on another team's bad contract as a bad contract swap, and maybe they'd bring in an infielder that way. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on for these next several weeks.
Max Goodman, NJ.com, is our guest. Max, there's still some guys out there. You know, Scherzer got signed this week. He went to Toronto. Santander is also going to be a Blue Jay, but there's still some names out there, especially Alex Bregman. What are you hearing within the grapevine? Bregman going back? There's rumors that Houston want to, you know, the Astros want to bring him back, and they made the deal with the Cubs to shed some payroll to try to maneuver Bregman back into the fold in Houston. What are you hearing?
Well, I can't imagine that Bregman wants to be a free agent for too much longer, right? I mean, it's becoming that bewitching time where you want to settle in with a new team and figure things out. If I'm him, you know, I wouldn't mind going back to Houston if they're able to spend as much as I believe that I'd be worth in that situation, because I think the Astros can still certainly contend. Obviously, losing Tucker is a blow for them, and they've got to figure out how they're going to produce offensively. Brought in Christian Walker this offseason, so they've still got some big bats in that lineup. But hey, if you have a chance to join up with some other stars and contend somewhere else, you know, maybe he would want to go somewhere. I think it's just going to come down to the money with him. And I thought initially this offseason that maybe he'd be a fit for the Yankees, but after they've spent in so many different places, and you know, he's on the other side of 30. He took a little bit of a step back this past season offensively, if I remember correctly. I thought that the fit was maybe better than some people had you know, been talking about, because he puts the ball in play. He's got that battle-tested, you know, resume in the postseason. I don't think the sign-stealing stuff would have been a big deal. But, again, it seems like the Yankees are, at least right now, comfortable to go into spring training with what they have. And if they can pounce on a cost-effective option on the infield, then they'll roll there.
Two guys that were pretty good on the field, but at times maybe caused some consternation in other ways as a Yankee, are now both Detroit Tigers. And one is obviously Gleyber Torres, and the other one's Tommy Cainley. Tommy Cainley would have loved to have been back as a Yankee. But the Tigers, almost $8 million, 7.75, if I'm not mistaken, to Tommy Cainley. Did that take you by surprise?
Well, he quietly had a really, really good year this past season. I think it was a sign that when he is able to stay healthy, that he's still going to produce. He's a change-up artist. He's got that spunky personality in the clubhouse, as I'm sure you know, being around him these last several years. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he's going to help out with a team that was kind of, you know, on the cusp there, making the playoffs last year and being the back of their bullpen. I did think that he could have been a match for the Yankees, right? There was mutual interest.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He, like you said, certainly would have loved to be back. And as much as the Yankees need a lefty reliever, he has those reverse or at least mutual splits where he does get lefties out with that changeup. And, you know, all the way up until the World Series, he took the loss in Game 5, but he was pitching really well for them. Kind of a career year for him, looking back at his numbers. So, could have worked out, but I guess he's you know, he sees the potential there in Detroit, and with Gleyber too, right? It's almost like the Yankees could have brought him back on a flyer 1-year deal, see if he can, you know, bet on himself and regain some value, and keep Chisholm at third and put Gleyber back at second for the money that he got. But there was too much there from the last several years with how that relationship has gone, how he's performed, and you know. I think he was an underrated Yankee at times, but then obviously the fan base has gotten on him a lot, and there have been some glaring mishaps with him on the bases and defensively and such. So I'm sure Yankees fans are wishing him all the best in Detroit.
All right. You know, not to beat a dead horse, but you and I haven't discussed this. We spent a whole season with Juan Soto. I am of the opinion, and I've said it publicly, I never thought he let himself get caught up in being a Yankee. He loved it. The, you know, the bleacher creatures, the whole thing, it was flattering for him. He enjoyed it. But I never thought that he let himself get fully, you know, taken in by the whole Yankee experience. It's almost as if, in my opinion, he kept a little bit of a distance from just falling completely in love with being a Yankee and the business that he was going about on a daily basis, putting together a winning season, putting together a drive to the postseason, but at the same time, getting his numbers up to a point where he was going to, you know, be able to make the score that he made. Did you get the same vibe from him all year?
Right when you started asking that, the word that I was thinking of, too, was business, that he he was taking care of business, and he knew all along that he was going to be able to hit free agency and make just so much money, record-setting money. And ultimately, the Yankees were right there in their offer. I was a little surprised at how high they were able to go with what's been reported, and obviously the Mets did end up offering more, and there were some other factors with, you know, his extended family, and now they had a role in what was going on with negotiations. But man, I mean, if you really did want to stay a Yankee and the money was that close, then he probably would have re-signed, right? And, you know, he did say that he sees potential with the Mets to contend, and maybe that's an indictment in Soto's eyes on where the Yankees are and their farm system and ability to develop talent and all that good stuff. But again, I mean, the money was right there. The Yankees went much higher than they necessarily planned to. So I think that's a sign that maybe he just didn't want to be there, and that it was just coming down to the dollar signs, because he had an opportunity to stay and continue to hit in front of Aaron Judge and contend to win AL pennants year in and year out. I mean, it's going to be tough in the National League with the Dodgers there. But he made that money, and we'll see how it works out.
Yeah. Oh, God bless him. Have some fun today at the event that you were at. Tell us about it.
Well, there's a bunch of former players, some current players at Pinstripe Pride is what it's called, with Hall of Fame signings. It's at the American Dream Mall out in the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
Good company. You know, John Sterling was there, Susan Ballman, Michael Kay, CC Sabathia, Hall of Famer. They didn't necessarily have a chance to talk to much of the media members that were there, but it seemed like an amazing event for, you know, fans that were able to go in there and spend some money to get some autographs and some FaceTime pictures with those guys. And, you know, it seems like it's an annual event from what I've heard. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can either go tomorrow. There's a couple more old timers that are going to be there tomorrow, or be there next year.
And it's a heck of a mall. That is. It's a good time to be had. That's a very innovative building they've got over there, Max.
Yeah, but you got to know where you're going, or otherwise you'll get lost.
No, you're right about that.
Mall for sure.
When are you getting to Tampa?
I'll be there in March. Yeah.
Okay. So your partner will be here first?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can't come soon enough.
All right. Max Goodman, NJ.com. Max, thank you for a couple minutes, my friend.
I appreciate you having me, Ricky. I'll see you soon.